Captain's log, stardate 41509.1. Either by chance or intent, we've been led to the planet Aldea, which appeared out of nowhere, hidden behind a sophisticated shielding device.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. We are here with our Let's Watch of Star Trek Next Generation. We're up to episode number 17 of season 1. This one's called When the Bow Breaks. It originally aired way back on February 15th, 1988. It was directed by Kim Manners and written by Hannah Louise Shearer. So this is a directed and writing crew that are both female, which I don't really think ties into anything, but I think it's worth not mentioning now at this point. This is the one where the Enterprise meets the residents of a not-so-mythical planet, and these people kidnap children from the Enterprise to repopulate their dying world. While Captain Picard attempts to negotiate for their release, Wesley Crusher organizes a passive resistance among the children. Right after the break, we'll get into this one. And as always, if you are enjoying these podcasts, if you could leave a like on YouTube or leave a rating on iTunes if you're listening that way, it is much appreciated. So we will get into When the Bow Breaks right after this break.
Captain, saucer section reports 6 more children are gone.
It's the children. That's why we've been brought here. That's what they wanted, and that's what they have.
Okay, so we're back. It's just me breaking down this When the Bow Breaks episode. I don't think I would have wanted to submit anyone else to this one, but this is an episode that is continuing our strong tradition. I sound like a broken record every week. It's continuing our strong tradition of watching episodes where it feels like a whole bunch of disparate parts that really just don't come together in the end. This episode sort of felt like a cliche riddled exercise, almost as if you needed to come up with something and, you have your 26 episodes you need to come up with. And this is one of those episodes that you just really don't put a lot of thought into. Don't really care about how it comes out. And, it's really not anything that I particularly found interesting about it. There's nothing that really stands out about this episode. It's a completely forgettable event. Nothing here carries on. Nothing particularly interesting comes out of this, and I'm not really sure that anything holds together. One of the first things I noticed about this episode, I mentioned in the earlier bit here, it was directed and written by two women for the first time, I think. Hannah Louise Shearer wrote this episode. I think she wrote a couple. This is her first episode of Star Trek, and it was directed by Kim Manners, and this is the only episode that Kim Manners directed. And my initial sort of understanding of how this episode looks is that I thought there was a lot of weird direction in it. There's a lot of focus on special effects laden things. There's a scene where Wesley's looking through the custodian computer and he's just checking in all the kids, and they're all doing something that's vaguely futuristic, or not vaguely futuristic, but it's like extremely futuristic. There's the kid who's whittling wood with like a laser beam. There are a mother and child who are watching holograms sort of dance around. And there's a lot of these little bits and pieces of scenes where they feel like they're really just stuck in there to sort of spend a special effects budget. I can't think of any other way to notice it. It's weirdly off-putting and like very noticeable when you're paying higher attention to these episodes, as I tend to be during these things. You have to turn off the iPhone and all that while you get into these. But it's sort of... The direction in this one I thought was strange. It felt very unlike any of the other episodes that Star Trek has done so far will eventually come into being. It's not like the Bowman directed things where you can sort of see a different style applied to these episodes. Instead, this one has weird angles. It has weird things that are focused on. And these I think the key scene that sort of spells out the direction is the scene where Dr. Crusher and Picard beam down to the planet to help save or negotiate for the children. And Crusher is allowed to meet Wesley. And they perform the most obviously... it's just the most obvious handoff of information and then scanning and giving back this information to Crusher. So Dr. Crusher walks in and says, "Wesley, it's good to see you." And she hands him, in plain view of everyone else, she hands him this scanner. And Wesley goes, "Oh, good to see you," and then walks behind one of the captors and scans her with the scanner that Crusher gave him. just very slowly, very suspiciously, then walks back to Crusher and hands it back to her again, and she leaves abruptly with, you know, some of the awkward, oh, I'm not doing anything suspicious acting. And it was just, I mean, I can, you know, if you've seen Breaking Bad, not to spoil anything, but there's a handoff scene in Breaking Bad, and it is much more subtle than this scene is. This scene is, it's just so blunt and so ridiculous that it, you know, it makes you laugh as it's going on. As far as the plot goes with this episode, I thought it was, it's fine. It's mostly forgettable. I had a sort of an issue with the whole, they didn't really mention until halfway through why they needed children. They do eventually get into this, but you're given the idea that this planet can't reproduce. And the fact that they want children is their means of getting around the fact that they can't reproduce. And it doesn't really solve their problem in the long run because they still can reproduce and create more children. But the episode sort of gets around it by saying that the natives of this planet are going to make the children reproduce and blah, 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 and it'll go on like that. But it sort of falls apart for me because I don't understand why you would need children at that point. Why can't you just recruit species from, you know, other planets or anything like that, or visitors, and just say, you want to stay here, you get to, because it's a pretty nice planet besides the radiation poisoning. You get to do whatever you want. A computer takes care of everything. But no, instead of just, you know, asking people if they want to stay and they want to reproduce and keep the culture going, instead they kidnap these children who are years away from being able to get pregnant. Wesley Crusher is obviously the oldest child, and it's a little bit strange. They don't take all the kids off the Enterprise. They just take about 10 of them. But Wesley Crusher sticks out like a sore thumb in that he is very much older than the other children, who the youngest looks like she's about 8, maybe something like that. They're probably 8 to 10, if I'm guessing my young children age correctly. So I don't really understand why they brought them to the planet, because they're going to need them, you know, they're going to need another decade before they're really reproducing reliably. Maybe a little bit less than that, but it doesn't, it certainly doesn't imply the immediate salvation of this culture, which is what the writing of the episode is trying to imply. And it's also, it felt a little bit slimy. The whole kidnapping children has a bad tone to it, which the episode is trying to go for. But when old men kidnap children and sort of lead them by the hand and take them into the room and tell them to play music, and there's an awkward scene where an older man is, you know, if you shut your eyes, the dialogue is just hold it tight. And it's just an old man talking to like a 8-year-old girl. And everything feels vaguely pedophilic. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but it feels very pedophilia-laced in what's going on with these young children being led around by older men who are, there's a lot of touching. The kids in the episode aren't upset by it, but there's a lot of hugging, and it's weirdly sexual. It feels inappropriate. It doesn't really make sense why they need children when they could have just had anybody to, you know, fix themselves. And the last sort of plot point that doesn't really bring anything to it is that it ultimately, the episode ends with a very, very on the nose, ham-fisted thing that, oh, the ozone layer is going away, and that's what's causing our sterility. Because the shielding that this planet has been using is causing the ozone layer to break down, so the radiation from the sun is breaking through and sterilizing people. And it definitely feels like a late 80s, early 90s kind of storyline of, oh, the ozone layer is going away and all these problems are going to come. And that is really not revealed until the end of the episode. It's typical of the season one type things where there's a lot to do about nothing, and then the answer is just revealed at the end. We've talked about this before. But it's it just feels clunky, feels clumsy. Getting from point A to point B is not very efficient. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not a straight line. It's just sort of disconnected lines that eventually all end up in the same point. And it's just a really, really, this is a really forgettable episode. I don't think I'd watched this one in a while, and I definitely didn't remember a lot of it. I think I remember the big points about the planet being causing sterility, and I vaguely remember Wesley hanging out with the children. But yeah, otherwise, nothing really great going on with this episode. It's definitely a 2. We'll continue our rankings here. Is it a 2? It could be a 1. I thought this episode was just kind of silly. I think I'll call this one a 1. I didn't really like it. And I just read some reviewer bits and pieces, and I think people saw it better than I did, which I can get into shortly. But just to wrap it up, just weird direction. I didn't care for the plot. Thought it was silly. A lot of the direction is weird, the sort of strange angles. The focus on kids is always kind of a bad idea, in my opinion. The kids really don't screw this episode up. They don't do anything bad. Even Wesley isn't too particularly obnoxious. He doesn't really do anything. He doesn't really save the day. All he does is organize his passive resistance, which is basically a hunger strike amongst the kids so they can't eat, in order to show their upset with the people who have kidnapped them. It has a very strange sort of sexual undertone with the whole kidnapping of kids. The Crusher scene is appalling. And the side characters, besides Picard, are really not fleshed out in this episode at all. It's very, very dull. Data has his thing of he's really just sitting at ops for most of these episodes and occasionally gets yelled at by Picard because he doesn't understand something. Geordi doesn't do anything. Worf's whole thing is that he tells the transporter chief when to beam Riker and Data over to save the day. Yar doesn't do anything. Troi doesn't do anything except sense at the beginning that there's a cloaked planet nearby. So yeah, that's when the bow breaks. Episode 17, we're almost through with season one, which is not going to be a bad thing to get out of here. But these episodes are certainly, once you have started going through 26 of these things, you're starting to notice where the flaws are really piling up. And I think this episode is just a really great example of those flaws appearing all at once in an episode that's eminently forgettable and really not all that interesting at all. So let's get into the reception. Okay, so reviews for When the Bow Breaks. So this originally aired way back in February 15th, 1988. It got Nielsen ratings of 10.2 million on the first broadcast. The episode received higher ratings than the following episode, Home Soil, which comes next week, which had 9 million. I don't know why they talk about things in terms of things that came after this. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Reviewers rewatched the episode at the end of the series. Keith DeCandido of Tor.com said, "It is, quote, a mostly harmless episode that lifts quite a bit from the cliche handbook." End quote. He thought that the performances were fairly solid and the overall message about the ozone layer was unsubtle but not too sledgehammery. DeCandido praised Patrick Stewart's performance of Captain Picard, noting that his anger and outrage and justified self-righteousness at the kidnapping of the children modulates nicely into diplomacy when negotiating with the Aldians and amusingly into total discomfort when he has to actually directly deal with the children. End quote. So I like that sentence, actually. It is true, that point about Picard. I kind of muddled the reading of it, but go back on and read that sentence by Keith DeCandido of Tor.com. Anyway, he gave the episode a score of 6 out of 10. Den of Geek said it was a decent enough story, but not in a way that makes you want to watch it. They also said it was a complete throwaway episode and contains almost nothing unique to the franchise. Zach Hanlon of the AV Club said that he was scared by the way he liked the episode, despite it focusing on Wesley. He noticed that the similarity between the legendary planets of Aldea in the episode and Magrathea in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Apologies if I mispronounced that. A reference Hanlon considered possibly deliberate. He thought that the child-heavy episode wasn't as bad as it could have been and gave it a B grade. Michelle Green, in her review for Trek Nation, described When the Bow Breaks as tedious, plotting, and didactic with a preposterous ending. She thought that the plot element of ozone damage was not optimal and that the quality of the episode was typical of the first season. I agree with pretty much all of that, although I think they're a little bit higher in their overall regard for how they feel about this episode than I am. I Do Nothing is very good. I am going to give it a 1. It's initially felt like it could have been a 2 to me, but now that I'm actually sitting here thinking about it, it really adds nothing. There's no reason I would ever recommend anyone watch that episode. It seems a little bit silly. I don't like the way all the pieces come together. It really feels like a very season one episode. As I've said and as a few of these reviewers said. So, yeah, I'll go with a 1. Totally a clunker. Totally worth avoiding and not listening to. So I will see you guys next time with Home Soil. That is the next episode. It is indeed. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a like on YouTube, leave a rating on iTunes if that's how you listen. Like, subscribe, comment, all the nonsense you hear, and I appreciate it very much. It means a lot to me if you do. And outside of that, I think I will see you guys next time. And in the meantime, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @PenskyFile. And I will occasionally tweet Star Trek-related things on that, as well as my own rambling thoughts. Outside of that, see you guys next time with Home Soil. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you again. See ya.